As my wife said, the timeliness of this sermon is just uncanny. Every Lenten season, the Salvation Army leadership provides a theme that they encourage us to use during the Lenten season. And this week fell as the week to talk about worry. And it's uncanny because around the world, men, women, children are gripped by worrying. Our globe has been gripped by fear, would you agree? And fear makes us do irrational things. It makes us do irrational things in an attempt to control what we can't control. Irrational decisions like going and buying 212 rolls of toilet paper, right? Creating the great TP famine of 2020. I mean, that's really... I've been posting a couple things online, not because I want to share information, but it's for posterity that, you know, 5 years from now, I want Facebook to pop up and say, 5 years ago, this is what was happening in your life. And we're going to go, who does that? And I apologize if that person is you. So if you have your own little TP fort at home, I'm not judging. I may be suggesting that you are being controlled by a situation that you don't want to lose control, but we do that. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, then in your mind, you realize or you understand that a Christian's response to everything that's going on should be different, right? Like in your mind, you know that you should respond different. Being a follower of Christ is so different than how the rest of the world lives. So when the rest of the world is acting like A, then somewhere in your mind as a follower of Christ, you understand that your response should be B, right? It should be different because we don't respond the same way. Fear, worry, doubt, that describes what a non-Christian's response is. That's how people respond to things that are beyond their control. And I'll tell you, when we can't control something, it can drive us insane. And that's why the world is fearful. The world is doubtful. The world is full of worry. But for Christians, instead of it being fear, worry, and doubt, our response should be trust, prayer, and hope. In our scripture today, we see Jesus addressing two groups. We see him talking to the crowds of people, but then he has these little asides with his disciples. Twice scripture records these little asides that he has with his disciples in chapter 12, verse 1, and in chapter 12, verse 22. Now, the first occasion, Jesus wanted to give guidance on how the disciples should perceive the Pharisees. We can tell by the scripture that the disciples were getting really worried about these very powerful religious leaders and how they were approaching Jesus and those who follow Jesus. So it says right in starting at verse 4, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you to hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Are you afraid to die? That's a hard question sometimes. And in this last year, there was a poll done asking Americans. And out of the Americans who responded to the poll, 42% said they are very or somewhat afraid of death. And when you boil it down, that is a foundational reason why people are so afraid of this virus. I think ultimately when we think about what other things have control over our body, we realize our frailty. We realize how indestructible we aren't. We all of us are not. We are not indestructible people. And ultimately we fear, what can this virus do to us? And ultimately we become afraid of death. We know as believers, we have very little to say of whether we live and die, right? As followers of Christ, we know who controls that, who ultimately holds that in his hands. I'm always impressed how my dad is able, he says this all the time, is, you know, if it's my time to go, have you ever had somebody say that to you?
Yeah.
If it's my time to go, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, what I'm acting, whatever may be happening, if it's my time to go, it's going to happen. Now, I've always encouraged my dad, if you go walking out in traffic, it's going to be your time to go a lot sooner than me. But there's truth in that, isn't it? There are things in which we know we have full confidence and reliance on God. But then there are very real practical things that we can do as people. God has given us a mind to think. He's given us wisdom. He's helped us understand our frailty. And so we live in a balance between full reliance on God and wisdom of how to live in our worlds. It says in verse 7, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. God knows who you are. He knows about your life. In life, God's got you. In death, God's got you. Either way, guess what? You win, right? Amen? Can I get a real amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter which it is, we still win. Linda actually said that to me when we were talking about our dear sister Sharon, who just recently passed. When she was in the hospital, we were talking about her recovering or her ultimate recovering and being with the Lord. And she said, either way, she wins. Hallelujah. Either way, we win. Now, the second time Jesus is speaking directly to the disciples is jumping to verse 22. And this is where our scripture begins, where Rob read. Now, in this section, Jesus is teaching about everyday issues of life. The everyday pursuits, talking about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You may already be wondering, what am I going to eat after church today? I don't know why. It seems like once the sermon starts, my brain starts saying, okay, we're over halfway. That means it's almost lunchtime. You know, what's prepared? What's going to be happening next? But we do that. Our lives are like that. And let's be honest. We don't need COVID-19 to get us to be worrying people, to be worrying about the everyday issues of life. That's just how we are. We worry about those different things that happen. Worry has really become a second nature to us. It really has. But as I said earlier, as followers of Christ and as those who have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, we are not to respond in life like everybody else does. We don't respond like people who don't have any hope. We are co-heirs with Christ. We have inherited the Father's kingdom. Verse 32 says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. We have inherited the kingdom of God, but yet we become so focused on what we will eat. Like Jesus says in verse 32, we have become so focused on what we will wear. We have become so focused on the temporal that we have taken our eyes off the eternal. Is that right? We have that temptation for our eyes to divert from what's eternal, and it turns on only what is temporal. When we focus on what's temporal, guess what happens? Fear, worry, doubt. But when we can change our focus from what's temporal to what's eternal, guess what comes from that? Trust, peace, hope. We must understand the difference between what's temporary and what is forever. I heard about a real interesting practice that you can go and do in at your house or in your life. But go to the Dollar Tree and buy two packs of Post-it notes. And on one pack of Post-it notes, you write the word temporary. And on the other pack of Post-it notes, you write eternal. And then when you wake up during your day, you're going to take those two post-it notes, and when you encounter something, you're going to stick it on it. So for me, the first thing I do is I get to the Keurig, right? And is that temporary or eternal? I pray to God that it's eternal, but I don't know. Ain't nothing better than a cup of coffee sitting by the crystal sea. Can I get an amen? Right? But the reality is that Keurig machine's probably going to stop working at some point, or the refrigerator, or the loaf of bread, right? The light switch. And the idea is that you go through your life and you put these labels on everything, and then at the end of the day, you just kind of step back and you kind of take in the realities of our world. How much of it is really temporary? How much of that is not going to last? And if you do put eternal, more than likely, it's probably on people and relationships. It's those things that are eternal. It's those things that matter in our life. At the end of the day, you will see that most of what we have and what we concern our own selves about is temporal. We must get our priorities straight, and we must pay attention to things that matter. Jesus was very clear. Very clear. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. God is there to provide for your every need. At the same time, we got to get our priorities straight. And I'll tell you, that's what a lot of us are doing right now. When our schedules and our to-dos and our normal routines or life are interrupted, you really step back and you begin to think, what is most important to you? I heard somebody say yesterday, without no sports on TVs, the churches should be filled because we have nothing else to do, right? There's nothing else to occupy our time. There's nothing to occupy our day. We have to get our priorities straight. Pay attention to the things that really matter. Because even in the midst of your worry and your anxiety, God is present. And God is presently giving you glimpses of His grace and reminders of His strength and His presence in your life. And we've become too busy to even realize it. I saw another meme on Facebook where there was a guy who obviously could not fall asleep. And he kept waking up and he had insomnia. Then there was a voice from God saying, well, now that we finally have a second together, we need to talk. The idea of not being able to fall asleep is God actually trying to get our attention because we're finally quiet enough for Him to speak. God is there to comfort us. But you need to pay attention to what God is doing and take note of it. Even in the chaos, God is doing beautiful things. Throughout our country, we're hearing stories of churches and individuals stepping up to be able to offer their time to deliver meals to kids who aren't going to get them because schools are closed. We're hearing about individuals checking on their elderly neighbors to make sure they have what they need so they don't have to go out amongst the people and possibly catch something that's close by. When we hear about individuals who have contracted the virus, our hearts stop wondering about what we're going to do tomorrow, and we start wondering about if they're saved, if they're going to have a tomorrow. When we experience these challenges and chaos in our lives, we must pay attention to what God is doing. Now I make it sound so easy, don't I? Jesus makes it sound so easy. Don't worry. Yep. Got it, Jesus. I won't worry anymore. It sounds real easy. But if you've been on this planet for any more than, 10 years, you know that trying not to worry is really challenging. Because we want to control what is outside of our control. But as Christians, we know who's in control, amen? We know who we can trust and who we can pray to. We know in who our hope is found. God's here to give us comfort. He's here to give us comfort at any given moment. The question is, will you perceive it? Can you see how God is providing comfort and hope in your time of need? Will you notice the glimpses of God's grace that are with you every single moment? It's hard. It is hard. The winds of chaos are always blowing about us. The winds of chaos are trying to get us to look at the storm and not at the storm calmer. But God is there. Will you sense Him? The reality is worrying will not stop bad things from happening. It only stops you from enjoying the good. Today is a new day. It's a start of a new journey. A new journey for you and me, where we will be more diligent in paying attention to the glimpses of God's grace that come to us in every moment. We will be more diligent to trust, to pray, and to hope. As we consider the words of Jesus, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Don't worry, little flock. We trust in God. We hope in eternity. He gives us peace in the midst of the storm. With all the stuff that's going on with this virus, Christians' responses should just be different. Not irrational, not dumb, not taking in what healthcare professionals are. We don't somehow become superhuman because we trust in the Lord. He still requires us to use our minds and our understandings, but it's the worry that's removed. It's the dread that is taken away. It is the chaotic fear that ends up controlling us as we try to control what's around us. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if the world got to see the reliance that the church has in Christ? In all this chaos, to see believers saying, "You know what, I'm not afraid. I know what they're..." I like how Jesus says, "I'll tell you what to be afraid of, the one who can control what happens to you after you die." That's that. We don't need to fear. We have no fear of death. Because either way, we win. Either way, we win. And we trust in the Lord for that.